next week, the book of Proverbs, and for a couple of weeks, we'll focus in a little bit on the on Christ, and since it is coming up Easter and so forth, and so so we'll be looking at that, taking a break from the book of Proverbs for a couple of weeks, but we're still in Proverbs chapter 21 is where we are at, and so if you'll turn there, go ahead and have that ready. But Proverbs chapter 21. And the thought that we're going to be looking at is what Brad read this morning in the first three verses is talking about basically the authority of the Lord in our lives. And as you look at this, oftentimes we sometimes think, oh, look at what these different nations are doing and how horrible it is. And that may be true, but still, God is behind the scenes, and God is still in control. He has authority even over those things as well. And so we're going to think about that aspect this morning as we look here in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 21, and one of the things that we've looked at here in the last couple of weeks is the ideal of integrity, maintaining integrity in our lives, and then last week we looked at restraint and that aspect of self-control and controlling our attitudes, our behaviors, and so we have that aspect of self-control. And as we think about the Old Testament and we think about even the book of Proverbs, oftentimes it can be quite difficult for us to even relate to the Bible. It was written, way before my time. And as we think about it, we are far removed from that culture and that society. And so sometimes, when we read things in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we sometimes put our modern culture, society, imprints on those things when sometimes that doesn't help us any. And so I just want to kind of remind us of that we have to step out of our culture, out of our society, especially our Western culture, and step into theirs, and remember these things. And so in this, there is still a universal truth that we're going to see. And one universal truth that we're going to see in this, this morning, is that we all have a desire for justice to be fulfilled. We have that desire for justice. Imagine being wronged. Perhaps maybe it is just something quite simple. Maybe somebody lied. But maybe that lie that somebody told had a huge impact on your life. And it hurt. It cut maybe pretty deep, as it might be said. But there is a desire for the truth to be known. There is a desire for those who are involved to be somewhat exposed and the situation to be resolved. And we would call that process the process of justice. And so one of the ways that the Lord ensures that justice is fulfilled is through the government, through kings, and through our situation. We have our government system, and the Lord sees to it that justice is, brought about. And the government is a tool which the Lord uses. In Israelite society, that government consisted of the king. In our modern society today, we have a system where we elect our officials, and the president is the highest in command, you might say. But we live in a different system. But the idea is our government is there to make sure, in this case, justice is, you might say, served. And so but we have to remember that the government is a tool in which the Lord uses. And so when we look at the book of Proverbs, we have to remember that for pretty much most of the entirety of the book of Proverbs, it is written from the perspective of a king writing to his son. A king who is writing to his son, or even sons, and how his sons should, one of these days, they're going to probably assume the throne. how should my son be reigning over his kingdom? And so we have to keep that in mind as we read through the book of Proverbs. And so the desire for the father is that his son is to rule justly. And there's one important lesson that the son needs to learn. And here they are. And in Proverbs chapter 21, we're going to need to learn, the son needs to learn, that regardless, who has authority over him is the Lord. That as king, he is not, you might say, the final authority on the matter. That there is still someone above the king, and that is the Lord God Almighty. And so the question is, who has the ultimate authority? And the father is letting his son know that, son, it won't be you. In the end, you don't have the final authority. That there is something going on in the background that is still, you know, oversees even you as the king. All right, so Proverbs 21 hits on this issue of authority. As we've walked through all of the book of Proverbs so far, there's that thing that should ring in the back of our heads, that it is, you know, wisdom begins with what? The fear of the Lord. And so this aspect of the fear of the Lord. And so who do we respect in life? Do we respect ourselves? Do we respect maybe our money, our wealth? Do we respect things around us more than we respect God? Or do we fear the Lord? Is he the priority in our life? Because wisdom is based on that. And it comes from that. And so this morning we're going to have to understand that basically we're getting the groundwork firmed up and settled. Who is in control? So we're looking at the Lord's authority. So Proverbs chapter 21, there's three things that we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at God's role, the son's role, or we can look at it as our role, and then what is the demonstrated role? And we're going to look at that here in the book of Proverbs chapter 21. And so the king is, of course, not the final authority or the absolute authority, and these verses explain that to the son. Son, you need to remember that you are a tool used by God. Willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly, you are a tool to be used by God. And so you have to remember that, son. And so, son, you are not the final authority. God is the final authority. And so, son, you've got to get that in your mind. You've got to get that played out in your mind. So as we look at this morning, we're going to pray, and then I want us to read those first three verses again, and then we're going to read the last two verses, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can look at your word this morning. We thank you that regardless of what goes on in our lives, that we can rest in the fact that you are in control, that the things that do happen are not beyond you. It doesn't mess up your plan. It doesn't change things. But Lord, your plan, your design is still being seen to. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can take comfort in that. Help us as we look at this this morning, especially in the context of the king talking to his son and how we can apply this to our lives as well. We thank you again for what you've done for us, the salvation that you've brought us in Christ. And help us look at that as well this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Proverbs 21, starting in verse 3. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Just to kind of give you put a plug in for verse number 3 there, you've probably heard something very similar to that other places in Scripture. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. And we'll go down to verse 30, you might say these are kind of the bookends to chapter 21. Verse 30 says, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So we're going to look first here at God's role. The first thing we need to notice is that God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. No matter how smart we become, even understanding all the intricacies of the universe, there is nothing that avails against the Lord. I don't know something that God doesn't know. He knows. If you go back to the first three verses, the word that is used there is also the word heart. Last time I checked, there is something that God knows that I don't know and will never know, and that is your heart. I will not know what's inside of you. I don't know that. I can't go up to you and open you up, you know, as a book and start reading and knowing what's inside your heart. Okay? And so I just can't do that. I don't have that avenue where I can peek in. There's nothing that I can look in and say, oh, yeah, I got the microscope out right there. There it is. I see it. I know what your true intentions are now. Ha, ah, I found you. It just doesn't work that way. I can't do that. You can hide your true intentions. You can hide the things that are deep in your heart. But the fact of the matter is, you can't hide that from the Lord. The Lord knows the heart. And so the very first thing we see here that the Lord says, he says, hey, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And he goes on, he says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He sees what's in the heart of man. He knows what's there. He knows what's in the king's heart. And he has that. He knows what it is. Before Jesus encountered Nicodemus in John chapter 3. John brought out a very important truth about Jesus. In John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, it states that Jesus knew what was in man. Jesus knew what was in man. And so before Jesus even was confronted with Nicodemus and had that conversation with him, Jesus went into that situation already knowing what was in the heart of Nicodemus. What he was struggling with, what was going on, you might say, in his mind. He knew what was there. Same thing kind of goes on here in Proverbs. That same fault is being pointed out. The Lord knows what is in us. And he knows this because he's all-knowing. And that's actually something very comforting. He does know. He does know what we're struggling with in our hearts. So that when he deals with us and he helps us in our lives, he knows us. This is not just him saying, well, I'm just taking a shot at this. Maybe I'll hit it, maybe I won't. He knows. And he's trying to help us in our lives. And so we see that aspect of God being all-knowing. And also in this is there's this aspect that the Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. He knows us. He knows us. And we can be thankful that he is in control, because none of what happens is outside of his ability to use, his ability to control, so that it's, you know, his plan and purposes are accomplished. It's not outside. God knows these things. He weighs these things. And what goes on, it's not outside of his ability to control, to plan for, and do. He knows. He uses these things. Notice that in these first three verses, it reflects this understanding that the duty of the king is to administer righteousness and justice. And God knows what's in the heart of the king, and the Lord uses that however he desires. The Lord uses that however he desires. To do what? To see to it that eventually righteousness and justice is administered. So either you know, that king can knowingly or unknowingly serve the Lord. The king can say, hey, I humbly submit to the Lord and the things of the Lord, and know, hey, I'm being used. Or he can unknowingly do that. Or he can willingly do that and unwillingly do that. so he knows what's in the heart of the king, and he uses that however he desires. And so the king can think that he's right in his own eyes, but be very wrong. But the Lord still uses that to accomplish his plans and purposes. He still uses that. This is the Lord's authority. That regardless of us, the Lord has authority. He's in control. And he oversees these things and uses these things. That's absolutely comforting to me. I could go through all of the worst disasters I could think of in my life, but still know that God can use those things in my life to accomplish his plan and purpose. But what happens in my life, whether intentionally or unintentionally, does not, God's not back there saying, oh, well, it's all messed up. I've got to go back to the drawing board now. No, he's using it. He's using it. And so regardless of us, the Lord has authority. He is in control. So what is the son's role? Or what is our role in all of this? Well, notice in verse 3 it states that doing righteousness and justice is more acceptable. In this case, the son's role when he becomes king is to do what? Righteousness and justice. That should be his role. Now, if he does that, great. If he doesn't do that, that's to his loss. But regardless, the Lord weighs his heart, knows his heart, and will use that king. But our job is to pursue righteousness and justice. Verse 21 kind of restates that as well. Verse 21, it says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. And so the push there is that, hey, son, I'm telling you, from father to son, from king to the one who's going to be king one of these days, you need to pursue righteousness and justice. Okay? And that's not just for the son here, but that's also for us to take note of. In our own life, what are the things that we should pursue? We should pursue those things that is righteous, right, and the things that are just. So this future king is to strive for righteousness and justice. Verse 3 is very similar to 1 Samuel chapter 15 in verses 22 through 23. Samuel, the prophet, he confronts King Saul for disobedience. And the Lord told Saul, you're not supposed to keep anything from the spoils of battle. Get rid of it all. You don't bring it back. But Saul thought he was doing the right thing when he decided to let the people bring things back and offer it as an offering or a sacrifice to the Lord. Now that sounds really good, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, bring it back, you can give it to the Lord. But the problem is, that was not what the instruction was. The instruction to Saul was, when you go into the battle with these people, you're going to win, but you do not walk away with the spoils of battle. Leave it alone, get rid of it. It all gets destroyed. But he didn't do that. And so Samuel confronts Saul about this. And in verse 22 it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. This wasn't the first time that Saul disobeyed. God had given him plenty of chances to do the right thing. And once again, Saul showed again that he was not capable of listening to the Lord and following through with what the Lord wanted him to do. And so God said, you're removed from being king now. Somebody else is now going to take your place. Of course, that is when King David comes into the picture, and King David is set up to be the king. And so, but it showed the heart of King Saul. And it was a heart that the Lord knew. And even when Saul admitted his sin, it was too late. Because why? God knew his heart. He admitted his sin, but God knew his heart. His heart still was not right with God. And he had no intentions of getting his heart right with God. Saul thought in his own way, this is right, this is what I need to do. Even though he admitted he had sinned, he still understood differently. Obedience reflects upon the heart. See, the Lord knows our heart. And the question is the fear of the Lord there? Who or what do we respect more? And for Saul, he may have thought that performing those offerings and sacrifices demonstrated obedience and dedication to the Lord. But God said, no, 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 you didn't demonstrate that to me. I gave you clear instructions on what I wanted you to do, and you neglected it. You did what you thought was right in your own eyes. That sounds exactly what Proverbs is talking about here. Oh, yeah, it's right in my eyes. But God says, no, 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 I want you to remember what I told you to do. Because it's just like the same situation. You think bringing it as an offering, as a sacrifice is great. But offering and sacrifices is not what I wanted. What I wanted was obedience. Imagine it like this. Many of us are parents in here. We've got our kids in here right now. So kids, listen up to this. Imagine your mom or dad, they leave. And they leave on the table instructions for you to follow. These are things that I want you to do while I'm gone. Please do these things. They tell you about this list. They show you the list. They give you the list. You know the list is there. It's not like, you know, you didn't see the list. Okay? You knew it was there. And your parents leave. They come back a few hours later. And nothing has been done. Nothing on the list has been done. But you thought, I'll do this instead. And you made this elaborate meal. You fixed this wonderful, glorious meal. It smelled good. The house smelled really wonderful when you walked in the door. And you're like, wow, this really smells good. This is impressive. But when you went over to the list, you realized they didn't do a single thing on that list. Let me ask you a question. As a parent, what would I have rather had? The good food? Would I have rather walked in there and saw that my instructions that I had laid out were followed? I would much rather have seen those instructions followed than to have the elaborate meal. Because that's the same idea that's going on here. God says, hey, listen, that's great that you've done this. It really looks good. I'm impressed. But that's not what I asked you to do. Far from what I asked you to do. And so the question is, who do you respect more? In this case, Saul, who did you respect more? Did you respect what you wanted more, or did you respect God more in this situation? And in this case, Saul said, hey, I respect what I think of more than I respect of what God thinks of. And so Saul says, I'm going to bring this as offering, as sacrifice to God. And God says, that's not what I wanted. You should have thought about this a little bit better. And same thing is being listed here in Proverbs chapter 21. It says, there's a way of man that is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs the heart. And it's much better to obey than it is to do the sacrifices. What the Lord expects is not what we typically think. See, what the Lord expects of us is not what we typically would think. We came to church this morning, and this is where we come to the demonstrated role in our life. What was the purpose of us coming to church this morning? Remember, the Lord weighs the heart. As you read through the rest of Proverbs chapter 21, I'm not going to take time to read all of these, but I'm going to probably do a real quick run-through of the things that are listed in Proverbs chapter 21. But as we think about this idea of a demonstrated role, it's something that comes from a heart that has the Lord as a priority in life. So let me kind of illustrate it like this. I talked to Michelle about this yesterday, and she's like, okay, you have my permission to use it. I told her, I said, I was probably going to use it anyways, whether you give me your blessing for it or not. But so before Michelle and I got married, of course, we were dating, seeing each other, whatever you want to call it. At the time, I was driving to work at the hospital early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. And for many, many years, when I drove into work that morning, many of y'all know the ministry of Back to the Bible, Woodrow Kroll. And he came on 4 o'clock in the morning on my way to work. I loved it. I was like, I turn that on. I can listen to that. It'd be great. Great way to start my day. And so I listened to that. But the radio station in town switched their schedule around and did something completely different. And so I could not listen to Back to the Bible at 4 o'clock in the morning. They moved it later on in the morning because more people wanted to hear it later on in the morning. And so they switched their schedule around, and so I couldn't listen to it anymore. Well, Michelle did something very special for me. Okay, I think it came on 7 o'clock or something like that in the morning. Michelle got up early in the morning, and she started recording Back to the Bible for me to listen to. So one day, I got a cassette. Yes, I said cassette. Okay, and we don't know what those are. I mean, we don't even have CDs now, practically. Like we've moved way past that. I had a cassette waiting for me that had several episodes of Back to the Bible with Woodrow Kroll. She prioritized things. And she showed it by not what she thought I wanted. She prioritized it, and she did this in such a way that she used something that I knew, that she knew I would like. She knew me. And the same thing is going on here. You have Saul. You have the son here in the book of Proverbs. And the king is saying, hey, listen, you know what the Lord expects of you. It's righteousness and justice. Saul, you knew what the Lord expected from you. It was obedience. You know that. It's out there. Why didn't you do that? You did over here what you thought was right. The Lord didn't appreciate it as much. You know how much I appreciate that cassette? That meant a lot to me. Matter of fact, I was digging through some things the other day, and I found that cassette. I still have that cassette with episodes of Back to the Bible on it. And of course, I'd have to look around for where to play it, but I still have that. And it meant a lot to me. It meant way more to me than Michelle giving me a gift that it was just a gift that she showed that she loved me. What she did there meant so much more. She understood what I enjoyed, what I liked, and she said, here. And she's done that countless of times in my life. And that's what the Lord says to us. And so he tells us in chapter 21, he lists things. And I hope you understand the correlation that I'm about to make here, because it's amazing that as we look through the book of Proverbs, especially here in chapter 21, you're going to see what the Lord wants from us. And it's not the sacrifices. It's not saying, hey, listen, you know, you came to church every day this year. It's not that, oh, you read your Bible every day. Those things are good. Those things are also expected. But if that's what you're resting upon, we've got some priority issues. Here's what the Lord expects. Here's what the Lord expects. Real quick, rapid fire. In verse 4, avoid arrogance and pride. Verse 5, thoughtful planning. Think things through. Use your mind. Plan. Verse 6, don't lie. Verse 7,
avoid violence. Verse 8, purity, moral purity. Verse 9, avoid people who cause strife. There's two verses in here that talks about, you know, better is to be in the desert, better is to be on the rooftop in the corner and away from a quarrelsome wife. Okay, that can go for anybody, not just the wife, but it could also go for the husband as well. Okay, but it's better to avoid people who cause strife. Verse 10, desire good. Verse 11, be wise. Verse 13, generous. Verses 14 and 15, avoid bribes. Verse 16 and 17, good sense with stewardship. Verse 18, cautious towards extravagant living. Verse 20, balance between consumption and conservation. Can't always be consuming because then you don't have. Balance between these things. Verse 21, righteousness and steadfast love. Verse 22, control the tongue. In other words, be careful with what you say and how you say it. Verse 25, avoid being lazy. Now, I want us to think about this in comparison to what the New Testament says. If you think about the New Testament, it gives us lists in there. One of the biggest lists is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I read those things off. Did you notice the similarities as you read through the book of Proverbs and then read through chapter 21 even, and you see the similarities? The kindness that should be coming out, the love and the peace as opposed to violence, the gentleness as opposed to violence, this aspect of self-control that comes out in our lives. What does the Lord value more? The things that flow out of a changed heart. That's what He values more. That's what He values more. See, we're too concerned with polishing up the outside, making sure the outside looks good. And we do that by what? We come to church. We read our Bible. We do a lot of things on the outside, but there's nothing that says, "Hey, my heart has changed," and let's show that and let that start to change and show on the outside. It's funny how this morning in Sunday school, what did we talk about? Sanctification. It's all about this aspect of our lives that we are supposed to be more like Christ. And the only way that we can become more like Christ is through this aspect of a changed heart because of the person of Jesus Christ. We can polish up the outside all we want to, but remember, the Lord weighs the heart. He knows what's in us. We must be cautious about reversing the order of verse 3. Because we do that all too often. When we reverse that order, what we say is that, oh, it's better to sacrifice than it is to have righteousness and justice. We reverse the order. And God says, no. It's better to do this. That's more acceptable. That doesn't mean the other is not necessary. It doesn't say that you should avoid doing the other. But what He's looking at is what comes out of the heart. And it's that righteousness and it's that justice that flows out of the heart. We run into dangers when we place outward works of righteousness above the inward work of the Holy Spirit and the changing of the hearts of people. And so we think about this and how it applies to knowing Christ and making Him known. I've already hinted on this. We need to have a changed heart. That changed heart only comes from the salvation that we find in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What are you resting on this morning? Are you resting on your own works of righteousness? Are you trying to polish up the outside and neglecting the inside? Or are you surrendering yourself and saying, "Hey, listen, I know I can't do it. I'm not acceptable before You. Lord, I know I am Your enemy. Lord, I come and ask for forgiveness, and I accept who Christ is. I accept what He's done for me, and I want that salvation I can find in Him." It starts with salvation.
changing the heart on the inside. Matter of fact, the Old Testament, when you read the New Testament, the New Testament says even the Old Testament talked about this idea of a changed heart. It wasn't anything new in the New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, the idea was, hey, listen, the Lord looked at the heart. He wanted your heart to change. Salvation. And then we have this idea of our role. What is our role? Do we understand God's role in our life? Do we understand our role in life as well? We're supposed to be growing. Like we said in Sunday school this morning, there's this idea of yeah, we're so holy, we're set apart because of our relationship with Christ, but at the same time, we're to be growing in that relationship. And then while we're growing in that relationship, we see the fruit of the Spirit coming out in our life. We see that change coming out. What is our role? And then we have this idea of make Him known. Make Him known. One of the hard things for us to do as Christians, as believers, is this. We like to sit back and we love to judge. And that is a dangerous place for us to be in. God will do the judging. I can warn people, but I'm not supposed to judge. There's a difference there. There's a difference. The Lord's knowledge of us is not only for judgment. When He weighs our heart, He's not doing that just because He wants to judge us. It is so that we can be helped. When Jesus sat down and talked to Nicodemus, He didn't sit down to talk to Nicodemus to judge him. He sat down and talked to Nicodemus to what? Help him. To show him who Christ is, who He was. So what? To bring Nicodemus to salvation. And so even in the book of Proverbs, the goal is not judgment. It's not to be judging, but it's a changed heart. And so when we go out into this world and we want to make Him known, it's not about saying, hey, you're wrong, you're living in sin, and you start judging people on that. You say, hey, listen, I can give you something that is far better. Yeah, what you're doing is wrong, and I'm warning you, but I can give you something that is far, far better, and I can give you the person of Jesus Christ. As believers, we are not here to sit in judgment, but we are to proclaim the gospel. Because the gospel changes lives by changing people's. It's amazing how often we want to enact laws and do these things in our government to kind of force people to do what's right, but does it change anything? For the most part, no, it doesn't, because it doesn't change people's hearts. We've got to have people change their hearts, and the gospel starts that process. The gospel changes lives. So polishing the outside does not make the inside right. Yes, we warn people. We warn people that what they're doing is wrong, but we do that in light of the gospel. And we warn people of the direction that they're going in apart from Christ. But we don't judge them. They're going to get their judgment one of these days. We're going to let God do that judgment. We're here to warn them and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. And there's this aspect of authority. How is the Lord's authority evident in your life? Just in this past year, I'm reminded of God's role in my life. One of the things, I'm very fleeting, okay? My body, I've got body parts coming out of me and everything, okay? I'm falling apart. No, we're very fleeting. Life is a very delicate balance. And you understand these things. And so the question is the priority in life God and the things of God, or is it something else? Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your work. Maybe it's sports. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe it's something else in life. But the thing is, the priority should be God and the things of God. Over and over again, the book of Proverbs reminds us of this aspect of the fear of the Lord. Placing God in His proper place in your life. Does He have priority? Does He have priority? And what are you doing in your life to show Him that priority? Just like I go back with Michelle. Michelle showed her her priority of me in her life by doing what? Knowing that I enjoyed that. I couldn't do that. She brought to me a cassette of something that she knew I would enjoy listening to. So how do we place God in our rightful place? We understand in His Word what He expects us to do. And we seek those things. We seek the righteousness and the justice, the just things. But we do it out of a changed heart. We don't do it because somebody has forced us to do it. We do it because, hey, God loves me. I understand my love, and I want to honor Him, and I want to respect Him. He's a priority in my life, and out of that priority, I'm saying, hey, I'm going to do the things He asks of me. Not the things that I think is right, not the things that I think He will like. I want to do the things that I know He likes. And I'm going to work on those things. And just as Proverbs chapter 21 just started going through and listing things, hey, these are the things that the Lord likes. And the thing is, are we going to play that out in our life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the opportunity to think about Your Word and look at Your Word, Lord. And regardless of what goes on in our lives, Lord, we need to understand this one important truth is the fact that You are in control. You have authority over all things. And Lord, help us to understand that and realize that in our lives. As we go forward, whether good times or bad times, the things that we have going on in our lives, do we recognize Your authority? Do we recognize Your place, Your position? And do we respect that? Do we seek after those things, Lord, that bring glory and honor to You? Or do we try to do things our way and play it off as we were doing it? You know, we were doing it for You, but Lord, when we really just really trying to do it for ourselves. See, Lord, You know our heart. You know what's inside of us. And then we can also take comfort in the fact of what You've said here, that even though our heart might not be in the right place, You can still turn that. You still use these things in Your great plan and desire. And we give You praise and glory for that. And Lord, we give You, we just thank You for what You're doing for us in our lives. We see that in the work of Christ. We see that how, despite how horrible things might have been at the time of Christ, You still used those things to bring salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we can look back and we can see Your plan even in our own lives and how things work out. But regardless of the decisions that we make, You're still the one that's in ultimate authority and control. Your plan and Your purpose will still be fulfilled. Ultimately and in the end, none of it catches You by surprise. We give You praise and we give You glory for that. Help us to understand our roles. Help us to understand what should be our priority in our life. We give You praise. We give You glory this morning. In Christ's name.